Now hit me.
Oh, yeah. The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grillin' Guys. It's the Pork Cut Show. So we're going to continue right on. We just covered ribs in the last segment. Here's the piece that is coming up in this segment that I enjoy the most, and that's either the loin or the tenderloin of pork. They are what they say. They're tender, and they're if you cook them right, they're still juicy. And so we're going to cover that. But what's the difference between a loin and a tenderloin, Bob?
Well, I'll let you cover that in a minute, but I just wanted to say one thing before I did. This is one thing in my, if I have one claim to fame for an original thing, because there's not many in barbecue.
Right.
They're all stolen. I came up with a technique on loin after traveling for years with Rob and doing all these classes where we're taking a jacquard to this and a jacquard to that. I cut up, just at home with my kids, I cut up a loin into like inch and a half chops, and I smothered them in oil, and I took my jacquard, and I just beat the heck out of them, flipped them over, oiled them, beat the heck out of them, seasoned them, put them on the grill, grilled them up to 140, 145. They were ugly, battered, you know, looked like a road rage kind of thing, and I put them on, and by the time they were done cooking, it had come back together to almost a perfect pork chop again. The difference is you can cut it with your fork. And that was just a little idea I had. I tried it. It worked wonderfully. And I think that's the only original thought I've ever had in my life.
Let's unpack a couple things there. First of all, what's a jacquard, if people don't know?
Yeah, it's the meat tenderizer. It's got the bed of nails that comes down and rips the flesh.
Right.
Some people like it.
Okay, and then you put oil on there, probably an old world olive oil. Was it a flavored one?
Yeah, garlic EVO.
Okay. So
and I take that jacquard and I just stamp it and stamp it. You know, if you ever worked in a supermarket where they had a price gun and you had to stamp cans,
right?
It works like that. You hear the mechanical action and then these nails come down and it springs back up. And it's a fantastic piece of equipment. If you don't have one, let's just say you're doing some ball tip steaks.
Right.
And they can be tender. They can be tough, I mean.
Right.
You can take a ball tip and do the same thing. Oil it up and take that jacquard and pulverize it. Flip it over, oil it up, pulverize it. Again, joke in there somewhere.
Right.
And season it, put it on the grill, and you'll have a beautiful piece of beef.
Right.
Because a ball tip is not my favorite.
Right. Well, it's a little, it's where it is.
Grizzly,
right?
It's tough.
Yeah, right. It's right on the end
but
of
that,
the.
That jacquard, that's what it'll do. It's a tenderizer.
Yeah.
And we used them to, in the brisket class primarily, to teach people how to take a jacquard to their brisket and make it more tender. Now, right. I never do that anymore.
Right.
It's just too much work. And I find that I can make brisket as tender as you'd ever want it.
You'll find jacquards all over. Spell that, please. Because
J-A-C-C-A-R-D, and that's the name of the company that makes them.
Right.
There's knockoffs out there, but you want the original jacquard. You want the newer version that has the push-button release so the mechanism comes apart in a couple pieces for washing.
Right. Yep. Very important to keep that clean. But did you put the seasoning on or just the oil when you start hitting it with jacquard?
Just the oil.
Right, because your seasoning goes on the top after you've got, you don't really want to drive salts and peppers and things inside of your meat.
And I used to do it that way. I wouldn't necessarily say you don't want to. I don't know the difference.
It would seem to me that it might impede it coming back together a little bit.
And now you're getting all
but anyway,
Bill Nye, the science guy on me.
Anyway, at the end of the day.
Concave.
Right. I've eaten those. Right. See, it's big word day. I'm grilling, guys.
Yeah. What's next with Jeff?
You'll see. You'll see. So that's a pork loin, and that's the one that I, you know, for the guy that doesn't know the difference, that's the one that's about the size of a softball.
It's a pork chop without the bone.
Right. Yep. It's the whole loin out of the animal. And it's about as big as a softball, big around. The tenderloins are the ones that are like tennis ball size.
If that.
And they come from a different part of the animal.
I remember the first time I went out to a butcher and ordered a I had to do an event for one of my grill factories. And I said, well, I'm going to need about 6 pork loin. Well, this was a butcher. So I'm used to buying pork loin in the supermarket. You're getting a half a loin.
Right.
So I got six of these 3 foot long monsters.
Right.
And yeah. I went down to the DeVos Hall to cook up pork.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah, so the loin is the entire length of the pig.
Right. Front shoulders to back.
The stuff you see in the supermarket's like a third of it.
Right. Yeah, and that makes sense because you don't you go to your butcher, you can get a whole one, but you got to have a really big piece of equipment to cook those on.
Yeah.
Do you grilled, you cut then, you went horizontal from front to back getting inch and a half steaks.
Yeah.
Chopped, right.
When it's a loin, it's a chop.
Right. So then do you ever cook chunks of it as a roast?
Oh, yeah, a million times. Now, like, I'm dealing with Primo right now because I have that Primo I'm trying to fix. And it brought me down memory lane to when George, the founder and owner of Primo, he sold it recently, but he came up and put on a class for us trying to get us to buy his grill back when he was just a little guy. And he smoked a pork loin, a couple of them, on this Primo.
Right.
And I sat down, and I was very excited. I noticed the smoke ring, for starters, and that amazed me. This was 20 years ago.
Right.
So my knowledge on smoking was very, very limited, other than maybe some weed or something.
Right,
like
I understand. Yep.
No, I just didn't know that much about smoking meat.
Right.
And I thought I did, but, you know,
well, everybody, it's a process.
Dads with a grill,
right,
you know?
Yeah, yep.
I was just a dad with a grill and a shop that sold grills, but my knowledge level was still very, very shallow. And he showed us how he put that loin on that Primo, and I think he had it on with an offset plate, and he had it on for about an hour, hour and a half. And when I got my chop, and it was gorgeous, I mean, everybody's excited to get a piece of meat when it's free.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I cut into that thing, and I just kept looking at him like he was some sort of Greek god. George was Greek.
Oh.
A wonderful man. But it was like he performed a magic trick, because I could taste that smoke in the center of that loin.
Right.
And I just couldn't believe that. It's like, how does that thing work?
Yeah.
And I immediately bought a truckload of them and started selling them, and
loved
them.
Yeah, those are the Kamado grills, those big ceramic ones. Maybe some of you have heard of them, called a Big Green Egg. A Primo is a competitor.
It's the American-made version.
Right. And
they actually make an oval,
which is better,
extra large, and they make a small oval. But that oval is the one I've got that a friend gave me. I'm fixing it up for my son. But so I called the factory to see if I could get that liner for it.
Sure.
We'll see how that goes. But
yeah.
Primo XLs, I don't know who sells Primo in this market, but or in your market, but if you're going to get a Kamado, it's the winner.
Right, because the oblong fits meat better.
It does.
You got a round one. You got all kinds of spots over there where the lid won't close because it's too close to the hinge. And anything that's over like an inch thick, it hits the roof. And
it really
the round limits your cooking space. If you're cooking anything thick like a pork butt or pork loin, you really lose a lot of grill space. That Primo, with it being oblong, you get to use more of it.
You're right on, and that was the big selling point, you know, that the retailers always had.
Right,
is it. Especially like racks of ribs or a brisket or anything like that.
Right.
You don't, unless you have a giant hamburger, the round doesn't work so well.
Right. So the tenderloin, real quick, is a smaller cut, like I said, about the size of a tennis ball or even a little smaller. Comes from the inner loin of the animal. But
you tend to like the tenderloin.
I do. They're very tender. Yeah. One, two, they cook in about a half the time. Of the loin.
They are quick.
And they take marinade very well, and you don't need to marinate them.
Do you ever buy the ones that are pre-marinated?
I have.
Yeah, that's an easy way to do it.
It is. It is.
Good.
And they're not bad.
No.
You're right. They're not bad, but...
If you're in a bind and you got to bring some meat to a party...
Right.
And because they're grilling out there...
Right.
Grab that in the supermarket. You won't be sad.
Yeah. They sell them seasoned and
lemon
without.
Lemon pepper, but, teriyaki.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Hawaiian, whatever they are. But yeah, those smoke up. What's our temperature on pork? What do we want?
145.
Right. And you don't need to overcook it. That's the number one problem that
everybody
has.
Especially with a loin.
Right.
If you're doing the loin, you want to bring it up to about 142 and then wrap it.
Okay.
Get some butcher paper. You can actually wrap it in plastic.
Yeah. Yeah. And let it rest.
Because you're only at 145.
Right. Coming up next, we might touch your pork belly. Stick with us. We'll be back.